Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. If you get a chance, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or I upload any brand new content. I like to interact with you guys. Sucks that I can't take phone calls. But if you'd like to leave me an email or voicemail, you can easily do that. Tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. So if I sound a little bit more nasally, I've already got a very nasally voice. But I guess I picked up a little bit of a, I guess you could call it a head cold. I know it's not COVID. You know, every morning when you go and take your morning dump or poop, that's just like a COVID test. Because if you can smell that, then you don't have COVID. But it's very, very annoying. And also, speaking of annoying, has anybody else been having problems with yellow jackets out and about? Because they are all over the place. I haven't been stung yet. I was stung a couple of times last year because I sit in a chair underneath the tree to be able to do show prep and stuff. And I leaned back and I ended up getting stung by one of those yellow jackets. But they are just swarming all over the place. And I don't know if any of you guys are having the same issues, but man, oh man, they are annoying as hell. As long as you don't mess with them, they're really, really not going to sting you. But it just kind of makes you a little afraid every time one lands on you. You start getting jumpy every single time you feel something, even if it's like an ant or a mosquito or a gnat. I just don't know. There's got to be something that is attracting them. Want to get into my first story. And I just don't understand, like, people that kill their spouses or their other halves. I know that, you know, people talk about it was a crime of passion. I just don't get that. Like, why would you throw your whole entire life away? Now, there's two ways you can look at this. It all depends on how bad you get screwed over. Depends on if you have kids and stuff. But at the same time, it's just not worth it. As a man, if the cops are called during a domestic dispute, 9 times out of 10, the guy's going to go to jail, or he's going to be told to leave the house that his name is on the mortgage on. And they really don't care where you're going to sleep. Just get out of here. Get away. But this next story is just so goddamn bizarre.
In a blue jumpsuit and behind glass, 29-year-old Ali Abulaban was seen sobbing at Monday's arraignment.
I mean, that name alone already tells me everything that I need to know. I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush. I'm not trying to, like, stereotype anybody. But, I mean, for the most part, we can all say that there's a pattern that Middle Eastern men just want to be controlling of their women. I don't know. Like, it's not to the extent of, oh, you're going to walk around with a burqa on. You're not allowed to go outside unless you're accompanied by me or somebody, a male family member. No, I'm just saying it's just a little peculiar.
As the prosecutor read aloud the details of the double homicide he's being charged with. The famous TikToker is facing life in prison without the possibility of parole for allegedly killing his estranged wife, 28-year-old Anna Abulaban, and her friend, 29-year-old Rayburn Barron, inside Spire, the couple's high-rise apartment in East Village.
It's almost disgusting at some point to hear the type of money that some of these social media people are getting. The people that are putting out content, I'm one of them right now, but it's like, I plan, I show prep, I try to find every great thing that I can talk about to be able to entertain you guys, to be a little polarizing, to be a little engaging. And this guy probably just did some dumbass TikTok video that got him, like, fame. Everybody started to follow him. And then he got all this stuff. Because if you're living in a high-rise down in South Florida, you're making a lot of goddamn money. And I'm also trying to figure out, like, how are these people making money off of TikTok? Do you get sponsorships and stuff like that? Because I still have not been able to figure out how to monetize TikTok as of yet.
Ran from the elevator to the apartment. He immediately fired 6 rounds from his firearm. First, he shot Rayburn Barron 3 times. The bullets entered his neck, his cheek, and the back of his head at close range. And then he fired at his wife, leaving 1 gunshot wound in her forehead.
Why do all the microphones sound like absolute dog crap in the courtrooms? You would think that you would want to have a clear, crisp microphone. I know that the stenographer is sitting right there and can probably hear everything that the person is saying. But my God, man, where's all the money? Where's all the taxpayers' money going? Are you guys just buying crappy-ass, like, USB microphones? No mic covering. Everything sounds over-modulated. And it's just bad audio all around.
Deputy District Attorney Taryn Brass says following the couple's recent history of domestic violence, his wife Anna was trying to leave the marriage.
Love will make guys do dumb ass stuff. Like, seriously, man, you had all of it just in the palm of your hand. You were a big time TikTok star. You're living in a high rise down in South Florida. You got a chick. And guess what? That's all gone. You know, you're going to go to jail. And guess what? I almost guarantee you none of those people in jail are going to know who the F you are. You're going to be holding pockets. They're going to find out what you did. And every single day for the rest of your life is going to be a living hell just because she wanted to get separated from you. Once again, this is back to what I was saying. Middle Eastern men being a little possessive over their other halves. And I'm not saying all of them, but just let it go, man. Like, women are not worth going to jail for. I don't know if this other guy that Abdullah or whatever his name is killed knew that she even had a boyfriend. I'm almost sure that he did. But I mean, wouldn't you just be angry at the woman? I never understood that. Why kill the guy that your girl is cheating on you with? Maybe he didn't know. Maybe she picked him up and this guy just figured it. That's all on the woman, in my opinion. And I just don't understand why people kill the other person that your spouse or your husband is cheating with. It just does not make sense. And now this guy is completely, his whole life is just flush right down the shitter.
After Ali reportedly pushed her to the ground last month.
She no longer wanted to be with him. She was actually planning to file a restraining order against him. And she had kicked him out of the apartment on October 18th. And so he had been staying at a hotel for 3 nights.
See, what did I tell you guys? I almost guarantee you the TikTok money and stuff that he has made all went to buy that place. And he's been probably staying at a crappy-ass Knights Inn. I'm sure he's got money and stuff, but it just sucks to be able to, that you got to leave your own apartment / condo because there's a restraint. Why does she not have to leave? And I'm not making excuses. I'm not trying to say what this guy did was right. It's the complete opposite. It's dumb. No woman is worth going to jail for. If you caught her cheating and stuff like that, Florida is a no-fault state. I know that's probably like car insurance, probably the wrong word. But what I'm trying to say is that it's better than just pay out a little bit. just pay out. Because now you're not going to be able to spend any of that money. You're not. I mean, you might be able to put some in your commissary and be able to pay off some of the other inmates from not having butt sex with you. But that's all out the window now.
But Brass told Fox 5 that Ali secretly kept a copy of the key to their apartment. She says he snuck in and vandalized it while installing an app on their 5-year-old daughter's iPad, allowing him to hear everything inside the apartment in real time.
I gotta tell you, all right, so I haven't really talked about this that much. But do you guys realize that I kind of went through a little bit of something like this with my ex? And it was devastating. It was devastating. You know, I was in charge of keeping up with backing up my iPhone and her iPhone to the computer and stuff. I wasn't snooping or anything. It's not like I grabbed her phone and was snooping through it. But I came across some text messages, pictures. And when I confronted her about it, she turned it around on me. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, I can almost understand. Like, you know how I said, it's just not worth it? I got to tell you, whenever I, confronted her about it and asked her about it, she completely flipped it on me. Like, I thought, like, oh, she was going to be apologetic. She was going to be this. She was going to be that. Nope, not at all. Said that I forced her to go to another man because I wasn't being a supportive husband. I wasn't providing like I should. And look, I made a lot of mistakes as well. They were white lies. And I know lies are lies. But, like, stuff would happen that I would not want to stress her out about. And if she would have just asked me, yeah, I would have told the truth. But I just tried to be able to, I thought my job as a husband was to be able to protect her from things that would stress her out. And I just got avalanched. I got avalanched. I lost my job at Real Radio at the time. We ended up losing the house. That was all on me. That was all on me. But to be able to, you know, go and confront somebody and ask them about this, because I'll tell you what, never once did I ever, ever, ever do anything like that. And I'm not saying anything bad about my ex or whatever, but I was furious at the moment. I was absolutely furious. And after time passed, we ended up started talking again. We're still friends. Because I would be the biggest goddamn hypocrite if I didn't say that we didn't have some really, really great times. It didn't work out. That's what happens in marriages. They just don't work out. And I could have, like, went off the handle. I could have snapped and did exactly what this guy did. But guess what? I did not want to go to jail. That is the one thing that I wake up every morning and say, don't do anything that's going to get your ass sent to prison.
Which is how he knew Barron was inside. That's when Ali allegedly drove to their apartment and opened fire, killing them both. Shortly after, Ali picked up their 5-year-old daughter from school. He was arrested on the 15 freeway less than an hour later with a weapon and his daughter inside the car.
Oh, thank God. Because, you know, like, when you do finally snap, like, this guy, I thank God he did not do anything to the kid. I know, like, you're probably like, oh, well, why would he do anything to the kid? Love makes you do a lot of crazy-ass stuff. And there's no telling what this guy could have been. He could have been, in psychosis. He could have had, like, a detachment syndrome where he just was not living in reality. And he just could have looked at his daughter and been like, yep, that kid reminds me of my cheating ass hoe wife, and I can't be around her. I mean, don't think I'm crazy by saying that, because if he was willing to go in and kill two people, one being his wife and the other is the guy that she was having an affair with, I mean, the guy, like I said, could have been in like this psychosis type like syndrome where he just snapped and killed everybody.
Prosecutors also say the TikToker called his mom after the shooting and admitted to killing his wife.
The next story that I'm going to talk about, a lot of you guys are probably going to think that I'm just trying to be shocking. Of course, I don't think a teacher should ever put their hands on a student. But just think about what teachers are going through right now. You got the whole mask mandate. You got teachers that are underpaid. For the most time, most of the teachers are older, which puts them at high risk during the pandemic. And, you know, like I said, they're underpaid. They're having to spend their own money just to be able to provide, like, school supplies for their students. Now you got kids acting up because they're allowed to bring their phones into schools and stuff now. But, the next story I'm about to play, of course the teacher shouldn't have done this. But I can understand why she did.
The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office says 60-year-old Caroline Lee was arrested for child abuse Friday at Darnell Cookman School of the Medical Arts.
There was one year that my parents sent me to private school because they didn't like the teacher that was my teacher in public school. Went to Stetson Baptist. Oh, my God. You know how much I hate religion and stuff. To be able to go there, yeah, I didn't like that, but there were one of the teachers, she smacked the absolute taste out of this one student's mouth because she was mouthing off, was acting up and stuff. And I think the teacher just snapped. But some of the students, bunch of narcs, went to the principal or the headmaster. I can't even remember. It was the third grade. But I remember the teacher ended up getting fired. She got let go because she smacked the kid. You know what? My dad gave permission to any of my teachers, principals, that if I got out of line, smack the ever-living hell out of me if you have to, just to get him in line. And my dad was right by doing that. Because guess what? I didn't act up in school. I just didn't. But back to what I was saying is, yeah, this teacher did win, like, Teacher of the Year Award or whatever it may be. But I feel bad for the woman. I feel bad for the student. But I also think the student was being a real asshole.
The victim stated in the report that when she arrived to her first period class on Friday, her teacher said Lee wanted to talk with her. The report says Lee brought the student back to her classroom and asked the student why she threatened her. According to the report, the student said she never threatened Lee, but Lee then reached across a table and struck the student with the palm of her hand.
I guess that's what you get for talking shit. I mean, they're going to get into why the teacher did what she did, but man, it's just like teachers have a breaking point. I mean, it's hard enough to be able to get these kids to be interested in learning. And she, when you hear why the teacher snapped like this, you're going to be like, okay, I can see why the teacher might have a problem with it and might want to throw hands.
The report goes on to say Lee called the victim expletives and then kept hitting her on the top of her head as her nose kept bleeding. The victim stated she began trying to hold both of Lee's arms to keep from being struck, and Lee kicked her lower leg. Police got involved once the student went to the guidance counselor's office. According to the report, the violent incident was preceded by an Instagram argument between Lee and the victim on the Duval County Schools page. This was where Lee was being congratulated for winning Teacher of the Year 2 days prior. There was a comment that questioned if Lee was the teacher that used the N-word last year in class. A response from Lee said that she used it in the context of the book of Mice and Men.
I'm telling you right now, if I was a teacher, no way in hell would you catch me on social media. It's just not happening. There's just way too many risks to being on social media as a teacher. And if any of your students followed you, I would block them immediately. But also at the same time, this teacher busted her ass. Yes, she should have been the better person. Yes, she's the adult. But I guess this local school board has an Instagram page and they congratulated her on winning Teacher of the Year. And the student was like, is this the same teacher that said the N-word? You know, like Huckleberry Finn, N-word in it, Catcher in the Rye in it, To Kill a Mockingbird, the N-word's in it. And all those books are going away. I don't understand why we're not teaching kids racism. These books were written in a time where that word was used. So are we just going to get rid of those? This little bastard was just being a dick. Once again, I'm not saying it was all right for the teacher to smack the absolute piss out of this student and then kick her. But I could also see, once again, related to this, the previous story, people have a breaking point. People have gone through a lot of stuff in 2020. And gun violence is through the roof. I'm not saying the teacher used a gun in this case, but people have just been through a lot. You don't know what people are going through in their everyday life. And that's just why more people just need to be kind and just stop being dicks.
The student said on the post that that was not the right thing to do, and Lee agreed. In the report, Lee said she interpreted one of the comments as a threat to kill her. Darnell Cookman's principal told families of the arrest in a phone message that Lee has been removed from the classroom and will not return pending the judicial and internal procedures.
Now, we have received a statement from Superintendent Dr. Diana Green. It reads as follows, quote, this allegation and the arrest are beyond disturbing. What is alleged should have never occurred ever, especially in a school setting. I have no tolerance for adults who harm children, especially adults in a position of trust.
If I was this teacher, I would turn around and sue for defamation. I know you can't sue a minor, but I would go after their goddamn parents. Because, I mean, the kids did try to make her seem like a racist for saying the N-word, but it was all about a book that they were making the kids read. So, yeah, I could understand. I wouldn't want to be called a racist. And, you know, like in these small little towns in Florida, word gets around so quickly. And once again, I'm not making excuses for what this teacher did, but I can also understand why she did what she did.
Now, Caroline Lee is still in the Duval County Jail tonight. Now, her court appearance has not yet been set. Reporting live in Jacksonville, Bree Isom, Channel 4, the local station.
Before I get into my next story, I forgot to talk about this the other day when I was describing my experience, the interview that I did with Miss Vivian Lee, the dominatrix and her slave Pumpkin, as well as being strapped to a torture rack and getting whipped and flogged by all types of instruments of destruction. So whenever we got done, when I finally got released off of the torture rack, I knew that I was going to get bruised. You guys got to understand, I've been in this game a long time. Not the dominatrix game, but just doing stupid stuff that leads to injuries. And I know, like, I drink lots and lots of water. So I was up on that torture rack for about a good 30 minutes and getting hit, you clenching up. I had to pee really, really bad. So where we did the interview at was in, like, an apartment area. The whole thing was camered up, too. Like, if you ever go to a sex dungeon, just know that you're being recorded and filmed at all times. And what I'm trying to say is that, so the dungeon is in one place, and the apartment where I did the interview at was a different place. So I had to pee really, really bad. So I go over and I'm about to walk into the bathroom and there is a random guy, pretty big guy. I mean, not taller than me, but pretty muscular. I mean, not ripped, but he was thick. Not talking about his private areas. I didn't see him nude or anything, guys. See, that's the thing about it. I got to back myself up because all this stuff could get used against me. So he came out, was very friendly at that point because I wanted to pee. I wanted to get back into my clothes because I didn't feel comfortable walking around in nothing but a Speedo. So I get that. And I ended up bringing like 3 brand new, never been worn, like skimpy underwear, whatever it may be, to be able to wear. And I left them on a table. I left the 2 pair that I did not wear, and I left those on the table. And this guy was a complete dick, asshole, mother effer. He made a big deal about it. Like, look, dude, like, you are, and come to find out, he, I guess, owns the building, or maybe rents them out. I don't know the whole story. I really don't care. But I really did think I was about to have to throw hands with a guy that was way bigger than me when it comes to muscles. Like, I'm lanky, I'm wiry, kind of like Brad Pitt at a snatch. And I don't want anybody to think just because I've been working out now that I think that, oh, I could take anybody. No. What I was going to do was I was going to snap back with some words. Because there's not a lot of people out there that are going to beat me when it comes to a war of words. Like, I show no mercy at all when it comes to stuff like that. But guess what? I, being the better person, because Vivian gave me great content, I didn't know who the hell this guy was. But, man, he was like, who put dirty underwear on my table? Well, you're letting Dominatrix use the room. There's no telling what type of human excrements, semen, urine. Maybe somebody poops themselves every once in a while. But you're going to make a big deal about a pair of underwear that has never been worn before on your table. And you were a complete asshole to me. And I didn't appreciate that. Like, I wanted to go off on the guy, and I wish I would have now. But I did it. Like, the old me would have flew off the handle. But, once again, living in the state of Florida, you got to be really, really careful about what you say, because somebody, you never know who has a gun on them. Moving along to the next story. If you put me on the jury for this next story, and you said, you got to find this guy guilty, there's no way I could find this. Because if you're a father and you have kids, you can understand why this guy did what he did.
According to charging documents, John Eisenman told police Sorensen sold Eisenman's daughter into a prostitution ring.
This almost eerily sounds like the plot from Taken with Liam Neeson. Because I look, I'm never, ever going to be a father. I mean, guys can have kids when they're older. Women are the ones that are on the clock when it comes to being able to have kids. But what I'm trying to say, though, if I did have a daughter and her asshole boyfriend, like, sold her to other men, put her into sex trafficking, you bet your damn ass I'm going to go and regulate this dude's behavior as quickly as possible. There's not going to be any stopping it. And I know a lot of you guys probably want to say, oh, well, go to the police. Da, 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 da. Well, no. When it comes to family, you know, you just need to handle your business. And that's why I said, there's no way that I could find this guy guilty. Like, if they go for the death penalty, it has to be unanimously. And I would be the one dick that would just say, nope, not finding him guilty. No way in hell.
And after driving to Seattle to rescue her, he went over to confront Sorensen himself. In court today, Eisenman didn't say much. This was just a first appearance, and he wasn't asked to enter a plea. But in an interview with Spokane police, he waived his rights and told them what happened.
No. First thing you need to do, and I used to think, if you're innocent, you need to cooperate with the cops. No. After I ended up watching the movie Richard Jewell, that, if you don't know who Richard Jewell is, he's a security guard that was working at the Centennial Park in Atlanta for the Olympics. And if it wasn't for him, a lot of people probably would have died. And the guy was wanting to be in law enforcement. And he talked to the cops. The cops screwed him over 100%. And I really do think that's what led to the death of Richard Jewell, because he ended up dying of a heart attack a couple of years later after he was already found innocent. And he was just trying to do the job. But no, the first thing that needs to come out of your mouth, if you're innocent or not innocent, guilty, lawyer. And if they keep asking you questions, lawyer.
He said last fall, he found out Sorensen was going to be at a trailer park in Airway Heights. Eisenman told police he confronted Sorensen, zip-tied his hands and feet, and shoved him into a trunk of a Honda Accord.
White trash checklist. Trailer park, check. Honda Accord, check. Zip ties, check. Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't even know they really had big trailer parks up in Spokane, Washington. You know, we get a bad rap here in the South because everybody thinks we all live in trailers. I do, so I fit the stereotype. But I don't know. See, this is way premeditated. But I got to tell you, I don't blame the guy. I don't blame the guy at all. We are nothing but animals. People forget about that. Do you realize in the animal kingdom, the mother, the lioness, you know, if we're talking about lions, the lioness will protect its cub. I mean, you look at an antelope or wildebeest, any of those, they will sacrifice their own life, their own well-being to protect their kids. And sometimes, when you get the cops, I just know, like, I would love to hear from the fathers out there. Would, if you found out that your daughter's boyfriend was abusing her, selling her for sex, pitting her in sex trafficking, what would you do? I would love to hear from you. Email me, Tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044.
Eisenman then told police he punched Sorensen a few times and hit him in the head with a cinder block, knocking him out.
What, does this guy have a steel plate in his head or something? I mean, the cinder block to the head should have been a kill shot. I just don't understand how that does not kill you. A cinder block is pretty heavy. It's, and when it does hit your skull, it's going to split apart. I just don't understand, like, how the guy didn't. It could have been. The center block could have been the kill shot, but it gets even worse.
Finally, Eisenman told police he stabbed Sorensen multiple times in the stomach. Eisenman told police he abandoned the car with Sorensen inside in a remote part of Spokane County.
See, this is where the guy messed up. People are so nonchalant about getting rid of a body because, let's be real, people, it is hard to convict somebody a murder if there is not a body. I mean, it's happened before, but there are so many ways that you could get rid of a body. And I don't even know if I should even talk about this, but you know what? I'm just keeping it real. I've talked about this. I live right here on the Indian River. If I was this father, I would have a wood chipper. I would set that bitch up right next to the water, Fargo style. Well, that wasn't by the water, but I would pit that bitch in a wood chipper and just let all the body parts just go right out into the ocean. Because guess what? What's going to take care of that? the fish, the flounder, the stingray, and guess what? Mr. Crab. Mr. Crab's going to come along because the crabs do not leave anything. The catfish. Speaking of catfish, go to my YouTube channel. I know I mentioned it earlier on the show, but I forgot to tell you. Last night when I got done with my live stream, it was amazing. I had never seen this before. I know that catfish do this, but I've never, ever seen it at the Hobo Fish Camp. But that's exactly what I would do. I would. Wood chipper right into the water. Let the marine wildlife take care of the rest. No evidence, no bubbles, no troubles.
Someone moved it last month to North Spokane, right next to Rochester Hills Park. A couple guys opened up the car and found the body inside. In addition to his own confession, court documents say Eisman's neighbor called Crime Check late last month and told them Eisman said he killed someone and hid the body in a trunk.
It almost sounds like this father, Eisman, wanted to put his name on it. Like, he'd want to be like, yeah, guess what? I did kill my boy or my daughter's boyfriend because he put her into sex trafficking. I can't find her. So, yes, yeah, I killed her, and I really don't care. Because there are some people like that, and guess what? Nobody's going to, like, really screw with him in jail. You know how I said, like, there are a couple of things you don't want to be going into jail? One being a cop, one being a child molester, one being an animal abuser. So, like, if it was a complete opposite that you killed somebody that was taking advantage of your daughter, selling her into sex trafficking, I think you would get a lot of respect in jail. And this guy's going to be, he's going to get meals every day. He's going to be taken care of medically. And my dad always told me, he was like, if you had a medical problem that you couldn't afford and you needed something done, go out and commit a crime. Go out and commit a crime that's going to get you like a year at most. And guess what? They're going to take care of you. You're going to get that operation because the convicts are taken care of medically more than the people that obeyed the law. So this guy's set up. He really doesn't care. Like I said, if he wanted to get away with it, he would have tried harder to get rid of the body.
Eisman said it was because the victim had sold his daughter for sex. Eisman has no criminal history. He's now facing a first-degree murder charge. A judge set his bail today at $1 million. I'm Caitlin Knapp, 4 News Now.
I know some people are not a fan of Halloween. They'll keep their lights off. You know how pedophiles are not allowed to have trick-or-treaters. Hell, if I was a pedophile, I wouldn't even be at home. Be out on the streets. I'd be no, I'm just joking. I wouldn't do that. No, if I was a pedophile, I would definitely keep the lights off and make sure it's double locked. Hell, I would even put a sign up and be like, all right, we're not celebrating Halloween this year because of COVID, just to be sure. But this next person on this last story we're going to talk about today is took it a little too far, in my opinion.
It's Halloween, you know, kids are going to be everywhere. And, you know, how can somebody just come out with a weapon and scare these kids?
It started out as a normal Halloween night on Quarter Avenue in Buda. But as you can see in this video shared exclusively with Fox 7, things quickly went south. Hayes County deputies say this woman, 35-year-old Monica Bradford, pulled a gun on a 7-year-old.
Jesus Christ almighty. That's pretty, well, for one thing, all right, I gotta just bring this up. For number one, if I'm a parent, I'm not just waiting out on the sidewalk. I'm walking up to the door to let my kids get the candy or be able to see what's given to them. Not that, but this lady must have been living here in Florida. I'm not absolutely sure where this was at, but this definitely sounds like a Florida woman story coming out with gun just pointed right in the kid's face because she wasn't observing Halloween this year.
Trick-or-treating in front of her house.
Neighbors say Bradford had her front light on, that it looked like her house was open for trick-or-treaters. And we're told the father and his kids were only right here at the end of the driveway when things quickly escalated.
Her next-door neighbor recalling what happened.
She just asked me who's in my driveway. And I was like, I don't know. She said, fine, since you can't tell me, I'm going to go get my shotgun.
Whoa, this chick was not playing around. Do you want to know what a 12-gauge shotgun would have done to a 7-year-old? I don't know. It probably would have blown off its top torso. But, man, this bitch really didn't want Halloween at her place. Is she like some holy roller Christian? I wouldn't be shocked if this woman was like a big-time Christian. And she was an anomaly. And she had a gun on her and went out there. Because I just don't know. She had her light on. So that's kind of on her. You're kind of inviting kids up there. But to go as far as pulling a gun, did she forget what the date was that night? Jesus Christ almighty.
Went back inside and came back out. And that's when one of the parents of the kids called the police.
That child thankfully was not hurt. Police quickly rushing into this normally quiet neighborhood.
There was cops at the end of our street. They stopped us and said, you know, nobody's allowed to go down the street. There's an incident with a gun involved.
Deputies were able to make contact peacefully with Bradford, but were prepared for the worst.
I mean, the woman didn't have any candy or anything like that. She could have been handing out ammunition to the kids. I mean, she didn't have to go as far as pulling a gun on a 7-year-old. Just give out bullets. Trick-or-treating, they need a gun for them to at least work. So there you go. Problem solved. You wouldn't be having the cops with guns drawn in front of your house if you would have followed my orders.
Some had guns drawn. Some had their rifles, you know, at the ready.
She was taken into custody without incident and brought to the Hays County Jail. But neighbors say this isn't the first time police have been at this home.
It was the second Halloween in a row that unfortunately we've had an incident with this particular neighbor.
Parents breathing a sigh of relief.
Man, this bitch really does not like Halloween. And wouldn't it look, if you live in a neighborhood, you know who's who. You know, that's the crazy one. That's the pedophile. That's the old cougar that screws all the teenage boys in the neighborhood. And you should know, like, do not go up and knock on this bitch's door because you're getting a shotgun in the face.
But everyone's okay.
What goes through your mind when you think, you know, what if you were this parent? What if this was your kid?
I think what you do is you just put yourself in between your child in harm's way and you hope for the best. Try and get him out of the situation as fast as you can.
I mean, if I had a kid for trick-or-treating, I would make sure, like, he would have a concealed carry permit. Like, I want my kid, as soon as he goes to the door, to be able to have a gun if they're doing like a quick draw shootout type situation here, in case grandma wants to break out the shotgun and point it in your face. Nobody's going to expect this little 7-year-old having a little piece on him. Just bam. It's a clean shoot. That's a clean shoot for that kid.
The little kid probably needs counseling or, you know, and he's got to deal with that. He or she's got to deal with that for years. Don't tell him.
Some thinking twice about whether to let their kids trick-or-treat next year.
I'm about to the point to where I don't even want the kids going anymore.
Man, what is the world coming to? I mean, you got to realize this woman is not playing with a full deck. That or, like, since the pandemic has started, I have forgotten what day it is some days because they just all blend together. But, like, how does she forget that it was Halloween? You left your light on, which is the universal symbol of, hey, we're open for business here. Come knock on the door and ask for candy. Anyways, just wanted to share that story with you. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.